And good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here with Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, and also Ken Cummins, the legend.
In my own mind.
Okay, in your own mind.
That's right. We have settled that, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah.
Does the legend mean he's old?
Yes, that's it. That's okay. I think that all stems back from a little story back at a local station around here. The guy says, couldn't believe we got a legend in the room. And I thought, yeah, that's one way of saying you've been at it a long time and you're old.
The old guy's here.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Well, the voice you're hearing there is Brother Harold Riley of HR Ministries. Brother Harold's joining us this wonderful Thursday morning, and welcome to God's country, Brother Harold.
Amen. Glad to be here. Glad to be back in Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I guarantee you that's one of the conversations we're going to have with you today is what you've been up to. There's an old it's a game, and it was about a detective, and I can't remember the name of it, but basically it's one of the early video games, and where in the world is so-and-so?
Carmen Sandiego.
That's him. Thank you. And I'd play that all the time. And so instead of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego, today it's where in the world is Harold Riley. And so
I'm currently in Hopkinsville at Missionary Radio.
Well, you do know where you are. That's good.
I do.
That's an accomplishment.
I just left Princeton with a team from Alabama. And
all right.
I'm back from Boston, and I'm headed to Kenya, and there's some other things going on.
Kenya, is that like North Kentucky?
It's a little further.
Okay.
A little further.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to catching up with Brother Harold, what's been going on. We'll talk about some of the mission trips that he has done, the people that have been working with him. And we'll also just chat about several different things that's going on in the world. And then there are some good things and some challenges along the way. So what – I got kicked off the front porch last Thursday. What'd you do with me, Brian? You wouldn't let me in the building.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't have that right to kick you off. So.
Well, I know, but I wasn't on the air.
But you wouldn't hear, no.
I might have goofed that up.
No, actually, Brother Mike Humble filled in for me. I was at a really fine conference with group mm-hmm. of radio folks in we were in Spring Hill, Tennessee.
Okay.
And I was learning how to raise money. I need to learn.
Yeah.
If there's a trick to it, I want to know it.
Want to know it.
Yeah. I don't know. I quite frankly, it was a good conference. I spent some good quality time with some brothers and sisters in Christ and got to hear about what their ministries are doing all across the United States and some cases other parts of the world. So it was a good experience. Well, this morning on the front porch with Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First, who is, you've aged a bit. I think it's because of all these females in your house.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been having vacation Bible school going on.
That furrow down your brow.
Is that what it is? What's
going on? Look at that intensity.
I tell you what, I had a hard time going to sleep last night. I just couldn't hardly go to sleep. I was so tired. And
what are you tired of? What have you been doing?
Well, vacation Bible school has been going on in our church.
It's towards vacation.
And it ends tonight, and you know, and everything, and with everything going on. But, you know, we've had some extra kids at the house, and they're all girls.
Well worth the energy. Vacation Bible school is one of the best evangelistic
Absolutely.
Tools of the church.
I agree.
So
I totally
suck
agree.
It up, buttercup.
That's what I'm doing.
Somebody might just get saved.
There you go.
All right. Well, Harold's told you now, so don't complain, right?
That's right.
All right.
To exalt King Jesus, Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on Missionary Radio. And, of course, Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, Ken Cummins, the legend, and, of course, Harold Riley with HR Ministries.
Did you say HR Puff and Stuff?
No, I said HR Ministries.
Oh, where do you go when things get rough? You remember that old?
No, yes, sir. He's not old enough.
I'm not old enough.
Yes, he is.
What is it? What'd you say?
HR Puff and Stuff.
Puff and Stuff. No, I don't guess.
You don't know about HR Puff and Stuff.
Listen, there's a whole lot of young people who don't know a whole lot about nothing these days, and Brian's one of them.
Brother Harold,
I'm 50.
Well, you're 50?
That's not
young.
Well,
you wasn't paying attention then.
I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, you poor fellow. So old.
I know. I feel it.
Well, okay. Well, good morning. Well, okay. I'll not comment. Welcome to the front porch again. If you just joined us, you're your first time in, and we're glad to be here on this very cold Thursday morning.
Oh, my.
Cold. That's by faith, Harold.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, it'll be good then.
Harold walked in.
I'll come into agreement with you because that'd be a blessing. I'm praying for snow.
Yeah.
I saw one the other day. It says, could you imagine shoveling snow in this heat?
Wouldn't last long.
Well, what can I say? We'll be complaining when it gets hot.
Oh, yeah.
And we're complaining when it gets hot. It is hot. We're going to be complaining when it gets cold.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you that are listening and wonder, we will get around to what we're talking about today.
No. We're just going to talk about the weather, whether we want to or not. Now, Brother Harold Riley, HR Ministries, also the newest member of the Board of Directors here at Pinerol Christian Community, better known as Missionary Radio. And Brother Harold, you've been traveling recently.
Yes, sir.
Let's take it a step at a time. You went to Boston, and I don't think you had a tea party. What went on?
No, sir. We took nine folks, four different churches with us, four pastors, to the Indian Community Church in Framingham, which is a suburb of Boston, to work
with
the
Indian. Wait, let me stop you. When you say Indian, do you mean
Asian Indian?
Oh, thank you.
Asian Indian.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Indian Community Church, there is a small church plant that's there that God has been fostering for about 8 years now, needs support and encouragement. A while back, Brother Suresh Samanji contacted me, and he came for training in Princeton and invited us to come, and we did 30 Life Principles training for his church while we were there.
So while you were there, all the activities were that 30 Life Principles, or were you doing something else?
We did their worship service on Sunday. We also did some construction and some rehab work for him, some work for him as a pastor. He needed some help at his house. Their economy is quite extraordinary in Boston area. A house here that's about 1,200 square feet might run you $250,000, $750,000 up there. So repairs and having 50 to 60 people in his house all the time, he had a few things that were in need of tender, loving care. And some of our folks, Morse Construction, David went with us, and some others put their hands to the circumstances, tightened some things up, fixed some things up for him, and we were blessed to do that. And then children's program while we were doing the 30 Life Principles, and got to preach in their Sunday morning service. So it was a short trip, four full days of ministry, but had lots of opportunity.
Well, when you speak of Boston, were you guys mostly just working there with the Indian congregation, or did you branch out?
No, we were solely there for the Indian Community Church. Pray for them. Many of them come with their legal visas and stuff to go to schools like MIT, Boston College, Harvard. They're very intellectual and very educated people, but very empty and needful of the gospel. About 10 years ago, there were a little less than 70,000 Asian Indians in the Boston metro area. Now they find somewhere between 150 and 220,000 that are unreached and not really very many people focused on them. Not a lot of evangelicals up there, period. And so he has a prime opportunity, and they have in the last 5 or 6 years had the privilege of connecting and fostering some 4,000 relationships of people that have gone back home to India or moved into the American culture.
Well, is it the intellectual community that brought them into the United States?
It is for education purposes, for doctors and scientific backgrounds, computer sciences, all those kind of things. And the Lord's just blessing him to be able to connect to him. He's from India. His wife is from India.
About Suresh.
Mm-hmm. And so just has a heartbeat for his people. And the reality is while they're here, many people don't know in India it's a very hostile environment towards Christianity. New president's Hindu. The Hindus are taking over, and there are some folks that are being brutalized. And the gospel is very much opposed by the larger population. About 90% of India and the 1.67 billion, and let me emphasize that, 1.7 or 1.6 billion people, about 90% of them are Hindu.
That's amazing. So there's just negligible the number of Christians in India, I'm sure.
Yes, and the persecution is heavy. Matter of fact, I got a message when we got back. There's a report, two pastors in central South India were arrested, one of them beaten because of publicly sharing the gospel on the streets. And so it's vitally important that those that get here in safety and security here in America, that they're engaged with the gospel. And Brother Suresh and Anita, his wife, are doing due diligence to try to do that, to impact them while they're here.
Well, I recall meeting Suresh at a conference there where we were in where were we? Chattanooga.
Gatlinburg.
It's not Chattanooga. Yeah. It was Gatlinburg. And was right beside him there in a little booth. And actually, there's an interview on our Facebook page or out about with Suresh that Andrew did.
Yes, sir.
And it's a very good interview. But anyway, the point is, it's not always been easy for him.
No, sir.
No. And it still is. In the United States, is it relatively calm for him?
Yes, while he's here, it is. But lots of strategic challenges. Of course, I shared with you the economy where it's threefold what ours is here. Getting people to understand that the Indian culture is hard to engage because of the fear from overseas, meaning if these folks are going back, they have to be cautious how they handle them. Matter of fact, they had a baptismal service not too long ago, and one of those had to be could not be baptized yet because of fear they would lose their opportunity to get back home because of visas, meaning if their family or the city rejects them where they're going back to, then they've got a strategic problem for themselves. And so they have to be careful how they publicize and do what we call natural process of Christianity. And that is, you know, publicly identifying to be a follower of Christ.
Who all went with you on this trip, Harold? Just some few folks.
Brother Troy Gent from Christ Tabernacle. Brother Presley Lamb from Fredonia First. Brother Steve Rutherford from over at New Salem went. And then we had my summer interns, which is Emma, Hannah, and Ethan. David Morris went. And then David McGowan, who is our Cyrus Network director. He'll be having a video coming out pretty soon, just giving an overview of what we did. So folks need to be sure that they go to Cyrus Network Media and like us on YouTube, and then continue to follow us on Facebook and keep up what's going on.
You're listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio. Good morning to you. Thank you for dropping in. Brian Marshall Sidebottom the First, along with Brother Harold Riley. I'm Ken Cummins. And Brother Harold, rather, recently went on a trip to Boston. Prior to that, you went to the West, didn't you?
We did, Navajo Nation. We were in Blue Gap, which is on the northeast side of the Arizona corner, right down from Albuquerque, sharing with the Navajo Nation there.
Okay, well, tell us about that, because I think perhaps our idea of what a Indian reservation is may not be in reality what it really is.
Sure. There is some tourism there, but the reality is it's one of the most unreached populations in the American states, and one of the most impoverished areas in the United States. And so it's a desert land. Several of the churches have closed up. There's a reality to their shift in loyalty to the tribal nation itself. Many of the young people are moving off, so it leaves older natives there to fend for themselves. And some of them come back to try, but there's no jobs, there's no resources. And there's a strong traditionalism that hinders them from responding to the gospel.
And how does it hinder them?
Well, for a long time, their people have followed the sun and the moon and the animals, and there's a higher power and a God. And to reject because of who they are, what other people have thought have been reality for connection with God, is very offensive. And so there's that internal battle, is Jesus really the only way, the only truth, the only life? And responding to that is pretty difficult when you can walk out the front door and the medicine man is fussing at you and those kind of things.
Is there a resentment, Brother Harold, because of here we're talking about Native Americans here. Is there a resentment toward colonialism and back from a day?
Some. It's not near as strong, I don't think, as it used to be, but there is an understanding that the reason that they're in an impoverished area and put in a place that has no resources, those kind of things, comes from that historic issues that they've come out of in our American culture. And, you know, those are things that not only there, but when we talk about Boston and the Asian Indians, we have to face that people have come out of systems and circumstances that draw strongholds that keep people from being able to respond to the gospel they ought to, because of the mindset, the way that the information is there and processing that. So I'm more and more convinced, Brother Ken, that what you're all doing on the radio, this and TWR and anybody else that has the opportunity to go and encourage them, is the only answer, which we already know from the Word of God, is the preaching of the Word of God.
All right, you're listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and Brian, he just about cut us off. Those fingers...
Never. Don't do that. He's the boss.
Never. He's the boss. I wouldn't cut him off.
He would cut me off, though.
Well, I mean, only if the boss told me to.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's hear what some of our listeners are seeing.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, thank you all for your diligence and heart to spread God's word. I am blessed daily by this station. God bless. From Princeton, we enjoy all the programs, and we're praying for your continued success. God bless each of you. And from Trenton, I've been with you from the beginning, and I would be lost with all of you. Thanks so much for your dedication and commitment. May God continue to work through Missionary Radio until Jesus comes back.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Missionary Radio.
And welcome back to the Front Porch on this Thursday edition. And thank you so much for being with us.
Well, we're being with who?
Being with us.
Oh, who's you us?
You well, us. Brian Marshall, Sidebottom the First, Ken Cummins of Legends. And
the Legends.
The Legends. I'm sorry. The Legend. The Legend.
I've gained a little
depends
weight,
on
but
which
just
day.
One of them.
And then here's Harold Riley.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's me, Irene.
It was good to talk to you, and good morning. And Brother Harold's praying for snow, but we need to wait.
Yeah, let's wait.
Yeah.
It'd be a blessing, though.
Well, we were talking before we went to Pen from the Heart and a little praise and music this morning on the front porch. We were talking about your trip to the Navajo Nation. Mm-hmm. Was that your first one?
It was first one to Navajo Nation. Brother Paul and Brother Stan had been out there for almost...
Stan Brandlett. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, he's in heaven.
Paul Hampton, who was in our area for a long time, had invited me several times, but it was the first opportunity to do revival and to do training. And so as we have that opportunity, that's the area of focus that we want to go into is the training opportunity, because if we can leave folks with tools that can bless the church, then it's good.
Brother David Drennan's involved in that, right? Yeah.
He is. Brother David is leading up Alpha Ministries over there. They go about twice a year for evangelism and some community-related ministries, and they usually do some construction, those kind of things. So,
well, the Christian churches, are there just one? Are there more than one?
Very few. very, very few evangelical presence on the reservation. Matter of fact, there were three empty church buildings that we saw. Brother Billy has gone to Chin Lee, which is a church that is being replanted, I guess you'd say. It was empty for 7 years. So, no, there's not a lot of gospel influence. And to be honest with you, Blue Gap, Brother Tommy is a pastor who's 81 years old, and their church is looking for next steps for leadership and praying through that. So it's vitally important because the reservation is not a place that the white man can just go into and live and participate. There has to be rules, regulations followed, and connections. And so it makes it hard to propagate, I guess you'd say, the next leadership that needs to take over.
I've often heard, actually have had students through the years that from some of the reservations that had come for this area, well, not this area, but our listening area anyway, sure, where I taught, that would give me a little insight to the reservations. And one of the things that they told me, the students, and it's been a while back, but I guess it's still the truth, that there's a lot of problem with alcoholism.
Alcohol and drugs. Okay. Yes, sir.
You think it's because of the impoverishment or what?
It is, and hopelessness. You know, when you're in an area where you can't find a job, you're in the desert, your people don't have much hope of jobs or industry, there's not a lot to look forward to, and you have to make that defining decision. Am I going to leave the reservation, or am I just going to sit here in the midst of it? And so what that does is bring on, opportunity for drugs and alcohol and all the rest.
Well, do you think that Harold, as you, Brother Harold, as you got acquainted with the people, that especially the Christian people, do they seem to hold out hope? For example, the Cuban people that I've been was around, there is definitely all kinds of reason to be hopeless.
Yeah,
but man, they were coming to Jesus and finding hope. So our Navajo friends know.
There is a pocket of them that do. What we saw in the Christian community is a lot of confusion. There's what we call the pop-up tent. There's a lot of folks that go for interest in showing off. There's a lot of health and wealth preaching. There's a lot of, I'm going to hit you hard and walk away. So there's not a relationship building, and there's not a biblical education at the end of the day. So bringing those thoughts and the traditionalism that comes in there with that, meaning, I'm still going to go to the witch doctor. I'm going to, the medicine man, all that stuff, brings a lot of confusion at the end of the day. And that's why we went with the training process and Third Life Principles. Definitely, we could see the light bulb go off with some of them that's definitely needed. We want to know more about how to deal with life and what the Word of God says about where we sit. And when you see that, you can see hope in people that there are answers. And again, I go back to what I said before the transition a minute ago. If you're out there and you're a pastor, let me just say this. You function with the unction of the Spirit of God and preach the Word of God. It doesn't matter if it's 3 or 4. It doesn't matter if it's 300. We're in desperate need today of old-fashioned, leather-lung preachers just preaching the Word of God and let God do what He wants to do, because the Word of God's the only thing that's going to help it. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And I told some people the other day, and people get mad at me, and just to be honest with you, I'm over it. I don't care if you get mad at me or not, but people
I've gotten past that myself.
People make the statement all the time, I'm going to live my life and show people Jesus. That's good to a point, but it's a lie. It's a lie, because here's the deal. They have to hear the Word of God.
Thank you.
I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gospel is not you going to church. The gospel is you saying Jesus and Him crucified and raised from the dead, and unless we're willing to engage people with their sin and tell them without Jesus Christ, they're going to die and go to hell, and if we don't engage them to know that the wages of their sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We can have the best billboards. We can have the best stage. We can have the best music. We can have the best programs, planning, everything else. Preach the word of God.
And it doesn't matter if you dress up, spike up your hair, and wear skinny jeans. That's not going to be the drawing. The only thing that's going to change someone's life is the Holy Spirit, lifting up Jesus. As a matter of fact, you were all over a message I brought last Sunday. I've been all week long just laboring with the Lord. When I said, man, I can't wait, because there's an old song. It's a bluegrass song that it's called Eternity Has Two, something to that effect, by Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. Life has many choices, but eternity has two. You're going to live forever.
Yes, sir.
And those choices are either heaven or hell. And the very thing you just said, Brother Harold, I mentioned, that is, some of us say, oh, well, I want to live a great lifestyle, draw people to me. I said, there are non-Christians live better lifestyles than mm-hmm. we do. They're good, moral, fine people. And I said, I got a lot of them in my family. I said, I would trust them implicitly with my life and what little money I've got, which, no, that's not much to trust them with. But nevertheless, but still, I would trust them.
Yeah.
Yes.
And well, people, you know, and people that aren't my family. But you need to back up what you preach with your life, but you got to open your mouth.
Yes, sir. Well, and here's what I have found as we get ready to go back to Kenya. We've been to Uganda. Had a pastor from Philippines with us yesterday. Supernaturally, the Word of God has the ability to transcend every culture. One of the excuses we get when we talked to the Navajo Nation, the American Indian, and the Asian Indian is this: well, our culture. The filter in Western Kentucky, the filter in Africa, the filter in Boston, the filter in Arizona, the filter at the bank, the filter at the bar, the filter anywhere you want to go should be the Word of God. And here's what I found. If you'll preach the Word, it doesn't matter if they're Africans where there's no lights, or in Boston where money is aplenty, or where they're poor as dirt in Arizona, people are receptive to the Word of God. And I'm just going to say it again. Pastors, get over it and preach the Word of God.
Yes, indeed, because if I knew a tornado was coming, I'd be warning you. Mm-hmm. There's something worse than a tornado. It's called eternity. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, God doesn't grieve on a curve. He's not going to say, oh, well, you're a good old boy there, Brian. You come on in. You're a nice mm-hmm. family. No. If it's not the righteousness of the Lord Jesus, his blood, and your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you aren't going.
Well, let me give you a word of encouragement in that, and for those that are listening. At the reservation, for the first time in 20 years, it blew my mind that the pastor said this. Now, there have been several saved on the reservation through ministry, but in a worship setting through the preaching, it was the first time that someone had responded to the gospel in that church in 20 years. Wow. Young man about 22 years old got saved in Boston.
That's fantastic.
In the midst of our 30 life principles, the process goes through several things, and we give the ability for response throughout that training for several reasons. But we were finishing up, and on the way out, I just had shared that they needed to respond to the gospel if they hadn't. And one of the men said, inside, God has spoken to me like I've never heard him before. And I just asked him if he needed to talk, and Brother Presley had the liberty to take him and his wife in the back room. And they sat down, and both of them prayed to receive Christ that evening. And so I tell you that the preaching of the God is impactful. It's effective. And God is saving folks if we'll stay the course. Now, is it masses? No. But God is doing a work, and it comes through the obedience of people being where they belong. And sometimes it may be in places you don't want to go. I don't necessarily want to travel sometimes, but if we've got the opportunity to preach the Word of God, you just came back from Cuba. Sometimes the travel and the circumstances are not always the best, but the reality is when you get the opportunity to be with those people and share, God's already placed in their heart the need, and the reality is they want to respond. They're just waiting on somebody to tell them.
You're listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and Johnny Erickson-Tana.
This is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. Today, Johnny asks us, what do you think it means to share the gospel?
I remember many years ago, back on our family farm, telling my story to a couple of girls who had come to visit. Arlene was a Christian, and she brought her college roommate to meet me. Now, Arlene thought that my story would encourage her friend. But Johnny, she said, please don't be too specific. You know, don't say too much about Jesus. My roommate's not a Christian, and I really don't want to overwhelm her. Is that okay? Well, I gave my Christian friend a funny look because it was around the time I'd finally gotten straight with Jesus, and I knew beyond a doubt it was him who had lifted me up out of depression, who had made the difference. And looking back, I have to confess I abided by Arlene's wishes. That day as we talked, I gave vague references to the Bible and to God, but I ended up not saying very much. But now, decades later, I sure wish I would have, because I've lost track of Arlene, and I have no idea where her college roommate is. I don't even remember her name. But she could still be lost. Oh, she may have left that family farm that day more encouraged or more heartened, but she may well be as lost now as she was then. And that still weighs heavily on my heart even now, so many years later. In sharing this story, I wonder, what do you do when you, quote, give the gospel? Do you merely give vague references to the Bible? Do you say the word God, thinking that they will take the hint, that they will somehow, quote, get what you're trying to get across? You know, often we convince ourselves that sharing the good news, giving the gospel, is just helping sad people feel good about themselves as we interject a reference to the Bible, or if we are really brave, the name of Jesus. But is, in fact, that presenting the gospel? In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says that the gospel is, quote, the power of God for salvation. When we communicate the gospel, we're communicating that God has the power to save people from their sin, not just their disappointment over a job loss or a breakup with a boyfriend. The cross isn't about addressing our sad feelings, although for the believer, the cross does that indeed. No, it's about rescuing souls from the grasp of the devil. Greg Morse says, and I quote here, "This feel-good gospel promotes a shallow form of happiness, not holiness. It focuses on man's needs and not God's glory. It encourages us to fight anxiety because anxiety is not helping you sleep at night, or to quit pornography because it's not preparing you for a good marriage. Forgive your mother because you are only hurting yourself when you don't. Conquer envy because it's not making you happy. To achieve these ends, that is, to sleep better, to secure a spouse, to stop the self-abuse of unforgiveness, or to become happier, the feel-good gospel invites us to rub God's bottle and ask for Him to fix our present inconvenience, not to forgive or transform us. It beckons us to settle for rejuvenation and not regeneration."
So go ahead and encourage the heavy hearts of non-believers. Just remember, there's a whole lot more to actually giving the gospel, the message that's the power of God for salvation. And if you're looking for help in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, go to johnnyradio.org today and be blessed.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 17:6, "I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech." E.M. Bounds states the following, "Nothing distinguishes the children of God so clearly and strongly as prayer. It is the one infallible mark and test to being a Christian. Christian people are prayerful. The worldly-minded are prayerless. Christians call on God. The world ignores God and does not call on His name. But even the Christian has to cultivate continual prayer. It must be habitual, but it must be much more than a habit. It is duty, yet it's one that rises far above and goes beyond the ordinary implications of the term. When you genuinely love someone, you want to talk to them. Have you talked to the Lord today? I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7. Missionary Radio.
And we are back with the front porch here on this Thursday morning.
Well, good morning to you, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first.
Well, good morning, Ken Cummins.
It's good to talk to you. Brother Harold Riley is in the house. He's from HR Ministries.
I thought we was on the porch.
Yeah, well, we are.
Yeah, okay.
It's getting a little warm. I came inside. And so, anyway, Brother Harold from HR Ministries, Princeton, Kentucky, and also a member of the board of directors here at Missionary Radio. Before we get into the next topic, which is along the same thread, but I wanted to punch in here. You mentioned earlier about the importance of Christian radio.
Yes, sir.
And to me, there's two things. One, is a lot of people think, well, radio, do people still listen to the radio? One of the topics that we discussed last week in this conference I was in, and I thought it was one of my faves. The guy gets up, actually from Australia, and he says this, radio is not dead. That is myth number one. And he showed graphically with statistics of how radio is still listened to. Now, it's different than it used to be.
Sure. Yeah.
That's a no-brainer. You have people listening to Spotify and their own playlist. But one thing that he mentioned that stuck with me that I think we have here at Missionary Radio and want to develop it even more is community, where people that are part of this radio stations, but Missionary Radio, that they realize that we are a family. And so the announcers, or we call them missionaries, that are on the air, that they're a family to them. And I said, you can't get that on Spotify. You can't get that on a podcast. You're going to get that right here at Missionary Radio. What say you, Harold?
Well, it's all about connecting with people, and one of the keys is folks listen to what they listen to for what they get out of it, meaning the type of music, the information that they're given, the preaching that's on there, all that's important, which makes it one of the clicks on the dial list, you know? And so, again, in certain areas, I think it needs to be pushed. The Navajo Nation needs more input because there's a stagnation of opportunity. And I tell folks, by all means necessary, when you say podcasting and you say radio and all those things, I think one of the keys for folks today is how do you connect those together in that community? Meaning if Brother Ken likes a particular podcast, then mentioning that to people on the radio draws people to across lines to help with that. And those are vitally important issues, because by all means necessary.
That's it. We're entering in even stronger in the digital world ourselves.
Yeah.
And because that's exactly where it's migrating to.
Yeah.
All means necessary. But this, just to tell our listening family, I realize that there's a lot of things you can give to, but when you give through and to Missionary Radio, you are supporting lives that are being changed. Mm-hmm. You're supporting missions. It's all about people. It's not just about these microphones and the electricity. That's part of it, but that's not it. If I just sit here all day and tell you, we want your money, well, for what?
Yeah.
But if it's changing the lives of people, and I'm here to tell you it is.
Yeah.
And well, so that's why I turned to you this morning on this very warm day and tell you that if you're to be warm-hearted toward the station, summer is tough. And this one has been on top of the toughness. So if you want to respond to generously, here's how to do it. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, use your debit or credit card, absolutely safe and secure. If you choose the mail, I like to keep our fellow post office folks employed. Send it to P.O. Box 1029, 1029, Hopkinsville, 42241. So I believe in supporting Christian
Absolutely.
Radio.
Yeah. Well, and the reality is, for those of you that are listening, we find people on a regular basis say, I listen to you on Sunday morning, I listen to this, when you're on the front porch, I listen, different things of that fashion. But I can validate and testify to you that in the prison, people get the liberty to hear the gospel. It may be the only way they hear it. The nursing home, different places that we go to minister. Matter of fact, I have a team headed to the nursing home here in a little while. So I would challenge you by all means necessary, but the reality is from the music that's on here to the conversations that are going on today on the front porch, from the teaching that's happening to the preachers that are put on regularly, the reality is people must hear the word of God. And if it's through the airwaves, praise the Lord.
And in some cases around the world through our partnership with TWR, you can't get foot soldiers on the ground, but you have an Air Force for Jesus. Brother Harold, as we wrap up the last few minutes here on the front porch, you said you're headed to Kenya. What's going on?
We are headed to Kenya the 5th through the 15th. Pray for us. There are 500 pastors in Nairobi waiting on us for a two-day conference to preach and share and teach. We'll leave there to go to Kisii, which is on the western side. There's 120 pastors that have been gathered there for the particular training that we do in reference to connecting them to 30 Life Principles and CBT and all the rest of the stuff we do. And then the last 2 days, we have 40 staff members from all over the country, from the prison system, Department of Corrections in Kenya, come in for 2 days of training to prepare for Malachi's Dads and Rubies for Life in the Kenya prison system. And then we'll come home. So we won't get a break in that mess, and we won't probably go see the big five, they call it, which is the elephants and giraffes and all that stuff. We're going to keep preaching and teaching. And so pray for that trip. It's about 24 hours in the air one way, about 19 and a half on the way back. And that sounds a little weird, but
tailwind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that and the reality to moving around in country. So pray for us to have the stamina to do that. And when I say preaching, I'm not talking about one time a day and then going sitting down. I'm talking about, we start at 7 a.m. in the morning and end about 7 p.m. at night, and there'll be four or five different sessions apiece that we'll preach and share in, and delivering that message and encouragement. And then there's always that feedback of pastors and leaders wanting to talk about where they're at and what's going on. We had about 50 the last time we were there. Came and said, I was about to throw the towel in and quit until y'all came. So it's vitally important ministry. So pray for those pastors we'll be engaging.
So are the folks that are traveling with you on this trip, Brother Harold, are they from different parts of the states?
I have two men from Mississippi. One's Drew Hill and one's Brian Presson. They've been on the team. Drew's new to the team. We're going to work with him on coordinating and assimilating, and then we'll meet Brother TK from South Africa. He's going to be on the team to work with us in planning GMM, which will come in October. We need to come back and talk about.
Okay. So the rest of the folks are local then?
They are.
Okay. All right. So as we wrap up, just remember that the world needs King Jesus. And when we talk about and have these conversations about missions, we're not just talking about international missions. We're talking about people. And when we talk, it reminds me of the old song made popular in the early 80s by Steve Green. It's called People Need the Lord. Mm-hmm. And one of the lines in that song is, every day you pass them by, you can see it in their eyes. Listen, until we realize that everyone you meet needs Jesus, don't hesitate to have that conversation with them. Because Brother Harold, Brother Brian, that's the best conversation you can possibly have.
Absolutely.
Have a good time with them. Love them. But you don't just be natural with your witness. It should be a life that overflows from you and overflows from me. And you shouldn't spend over a small amount of time, it's hard for me to say how much, before you know that I'm a Christian.
Amen.
And it's not just because of the T-shirt I'm wearing either.
That's right.
But speak Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
It changes everything. Amen.
That's right. Speak his name, live his name, proclaim his name. Well, I want to thank Brother Harold Riley for being with us here on the front porch. Pray for those that trip upcoming to Kenya that he just mentioned. Also, remember Missionary Radio, as we have a lot going on.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, one of our stations, which is Praise and Worship, Thrive FM, which operates out of Murray, releases the signal. It operates in Hardin. But nonetheless, we're getting ready for a pledge drive on the 14th and 15th of August. And so a lot going on, but I want to tell you, we have opportunities. Let's use them for the glory of God. Have a great day. May the best news ever be yours today, and that's Jesus Christ.
Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.